This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about diagnostics, right?
Broken cars.
Broken cars.
Fixed cars and fun cars.
Yep.
Because some cars are just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As you come racing in your little sports car this morning.
Yeah. I forgot to set my alarm this morning.
The name of that car makes me think of the little thing, macaroons or whatever those
are. Yeah. Yeah. Macan.
That's a bird, isn't it? Oh, that's a macaw.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not sure what a macan is.
maybe one of those cars that don't even exist. I mean,
yeah.
Actual things that don't exist. We've named a lot of cars that over the years. Not me personally, but,
yeah.
But I mean, yeah. So, and then we named some cars after things like the Pinto. I mean, that's a horse, I believe.
Oh, or a bean.
Oh, Pinto Bean, you're right.
That's what I thought. It kind of looks like one.
Pinto is a Pinto Bean. All right.
You're really excited when you own a Pinto Bean.
Yeah, like, if you hit a bean in the rear, does it blow up and catch on fire? Yeah. It could. You never know. So, all good, all good. All right, folks, we're back live this morning. And as Paul did say, we were talking about, I believe, diagnosing your vehicle properly, which is highly important. Will save you lots of money in the long run for sure. But anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. You can give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Man, we're getting really close today. What is today, the 16th?
Yeah.
We're 9 days away from Christmas.
Getting close.
Christmas. What are you buying me for Christmas? You laughed. Jeez, man. I thought I was going to get a present for Christmas. Oh, well.
I'll get you a present.
I'm not sure that I want you to give me a present. That sounds scary.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, in all seriousness, we are getting really close to Christmas. Boy, where's this year gone? It's kind of flown by.
It has flown by.
It's super crazy fast. And everybody's getting the car serviced and getting ready for Christmas, whatever you're doing. A lot of people will be out on the road traveling. So this next week is a great... week to get your car in and get it serviced if you're going to be heading somewhere. Don't wait till Friday.
Yeah.
A couple days before Christmas, because next weekend is Christmas weekend, right?
I should know this.
Am I right?
100%.
Wow. I need to look at a calendar actually just to see. It's come up this year. It seems like it's come up really fast, right? Yeah. So next weekend is Christmas weekend because Christmas is on
Monday, right?
Monday, yeah. So Christmas Eve is on Sunday. And yep. So what are your plans for Christmas? Anything good?
You gonna go? I'm probably gonna go to Ventura.
Yeah, go see your dad and stuff and your brothers.
I'll do the radio and then hit the road.
There you go.
Yeah.
It'd be a good weekend. My friend Callie, she and Ron, they're hosting Christmas dinner. She just called she got a big
turkey?
No, we're not doing no turkey.
I was trying to figure out
the big steak thing with a bone in it. It's not a ribeye. It's a
roast.
Well, kinda. I don't know what the heck you call it, man. I'm definitely not a cook either.
Yeah, so neither.
I can fix cars like crazy, but the whole cooking thing, no, not so much. So, hold on, just 1 second, and we'll see what this thing's called because it's good. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be really good.
Brisket?
Prime rib.
Oh, prime rib.
That's like a brisket, though. Same kind of idea. Yeah, yeah. But prime rib comes with a bone in it. So look at Brendan. Oh, he's over there mouth watering, thinking about the prime rib now.
Well, you know it. I love prime rib.
You know it.
You know it.
So that way we don't have to Yeah, no turkey, no ham. I was like, she asked me, like, what do you think? I was like, yeah, prime rib's best. That's a great Christmas dinner.
I love prime rib. That's
absolutely
good.
Everybody will be stuffed, fat, and happy. It'll be all good, all good. All right, real quick here, let's grab Andy in El Cajon. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful. And yourself?
Oh, good. We were just talking about what we're doing for Christmas dinner, so now I'm really hungry. We'll get back to talking about cars now.
Okay, I have a 2009 Ford F-150, mm-hmm. and indicator light came on. It was a wrench, and I was told by a friend of mine who's a mechanic that it might be something related to transmission.
It's normally a maintenance light.
Yeah, usually maintenance. So as far as something's come up, it can also come on for things such as like a tire pressure sensor. If you get one of those lights, sometimes a wrench light will come on with it. But that wrench light is more of a maintenance thing. Could it be related to transmission recommended, the vehicle's recommended service? It could. So there's a lot of that. Is the car having any issues, any check engine light on, anything else? Just that light?
No, just that light.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just a wrench. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. It's recommending service on something. So it just depends. I don't know the mileage on your car or what. That does store a maintenance code though, right, Paul?
No.
Oh, it doesn't? Doesn't on that? Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if it did or not.
It just tries to guess when your, ignition cycles, idle time, and it tries to calculate when it's due for oil change.
Oil changes, things like that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the wrench light on that car is just a maintenance.
Yeah. What? Okay. How many miles are on your truck?
235. But it's in very well maintained.
Yeah,
I'm the first owner, and I've had it for years, and it's just been a wonderful truck.
Gotcha. V6, V8. Which motor's in it? You know,
it's a V8, but I don't know about size.
Gotcha.
It's a small V8.
It's a small one.
The 4.6.
Probably a 4.6 liter V8. Yeah. So,
is that a service you do to diagnose that?
Yeah, it's not really.
Do that to El Cajon?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's not a big deal as far as that goes. Like I said, there's no check engine light or anything else on then.
No.
Okay, good. Well, then it's not such a bad scenario. Yes, it's just recommending service as far as that goes. Paul's double checking right now, though, I believe. Do you see anything there, Paul, about that?
Yeah, I was looking at it. Actually, it might be a powertrain malfunction.
Okay. So sometimes, but yes, absolutely. If it is a powertrain malfunction, then it would definitely have set a code as far as that goes. So, okay. But it's not anything that's picked up as far as solenoid failure or anything like that, or open circuit, because it would have set the check engine light then.
Yeah, that's usually why it threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of cars, the wrench light's just maintenance, but
correct.
It's not.
Okay.
Yep. So get that in and figure out what's going on with it.
And I could drive in and do that, or do I need to make an appointment?
Usually we can just get you in the morning, but you will need to drop it off as far as that goes. So,
right.
But we do have a shuttle. Okay. If you live out in El Cajon or in the area there, get you a ride. Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, perfect.
All right, thank
you very much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And Paul's been working out there with our manager, so if you get out there, you'll probably get to see Paul.
Yep, I'll be there.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the call, Andy. Hey, take care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Bye. So, anyway.
Yeah.
There you go. You know what? Now that you mentioned that, I saw a Ford Escape that the wrench, but it had a check engine light also.
Yeah, it usually has a check engine with it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. That's why I kept asking, does this have a check?
Yeah, that's why.
It just picked up something minor on it, it is possible that it didn't turn the check engine light on. So just depends.
Yeah, and I just like kind of Googled really quick. I didn't put the year in, but.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, yeah. There's so many things on so many cars
that
I have to look at.
Per year, too, because I think like 07 is maintenance.
Oh, is it?
You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
All right. Well, either way, we can definitely look.
We can take
once
care
we get
of it.
The VIN and all that, we can look up exactly what has to do with that vehicle specifically. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so not a problem whatsoever. We do specialize in those.
Yeah.
And it's easier to figure out when we have all our data systems.
Yep. And we got the factory Ford tool, so that helps us too.
Yes, that too. That too. All right, let's see what Bruce has got going on in Carlsbad. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. This is last week when you guys talked about the 80s, and it was kind of a dismal era for the auto industry, but there were a couple exceptions, and one most notable because of the immense production was the introduction of the minivan, Lee Iacocca's attempt to bring Chrysler back, and that was highly successful.
That was successful, for no kidding, yeah.
Yeah. And the second one, there was one very, very noteworthy vehicle that was produced, and that was the Buick GNX. Mm-hmm. And that was an extremely fast vehicle, and 0 to 64.5 seconds. I'm looking at the data.
You're talking about the Grand National, right?
No. It was... A Grand National was mass produced, and that was
91, I thought. Grand Nationals.
No. They had them in 87.
Oh, they did.
88. Yeah.
It was based on the Regent platform, and it was highly successful in itself, but not anywhere near as fast as the GNX.
Gotcha.
And the GNX had one of these things where the torque was rated at 400 pounds and 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, 155 miles an hour.
How many did they sell?
That's the whole thing. It was they only made between 500 and 600 of them, and so then immediately it became a collector's item. It was the dealers marked them way up over the retail suggested retail. So and if you can find one undriven, they are extremely expensive now.
Yeah,
it was 28,000 was the initial price on them, suggested retail price.
I've always been a fan of those Typhoons, the GMC Typhoon. They look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the GNX, though, was
that was
it was a specialty, like Grand National, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, now I know exactly. I was like, GNX chicken. Yeah, so.
It looks like a Grand National.
Yeah, yeah, it looks, the body style was Grand National.
Yeah.
Exactly. Different power it was just, train.
You could think of it as a highlight of things to come, that the engineers could take that little 3.8 liter turbocharged V6 and produced something that, by the way, it was rated at like 268 horsepower, but they downrated it for insurance reasons.
There was 547 of these made.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. The sticker price was $29,389 in 1987. So right there in that era.
That was big money back then. So it was not a cheap car.
12 seconds.
Oh, so check that out. No wonder. So the GNX actually stood for Grand National Experimental.
Yeah, that's it. That's one. But you notice it looked like a Buick Regal. It looked like the Grand National, but it was way different.
Oh, wow. So check this out. This is a really cool car. Of course, I've never worked on one of these because there's not many of them. I don't even know who I've...
They're all put away.
I'm sure they're worth
there's
money
one,
now.
There's one right now, an unsold Buick GNX with 202 miles now for sale on Bring a Trailer. So somebody's got it in their car collection. Yeah, this bad boy, though, was super fast.
Yeah, 12.7 to the quarter back then. That's cooking.
Yeah, 4.6 seconds, 0 to 60, 12.7 in the quarter mile. Likely much more powerful, it says here.
Way, way faster than a Corvette from that same era.
Oh, yeah. And the wheels on it even were not 16-inch black wheels, polished aluminum. Very cool.
You can always, not always, but you can see them several times a year on the Meekum and Barrett auctions.
The car currently has a bid of $150,000 on it with plenty of time left in the auction, which ends on Monday. The bidding could go up higher as an 8-mile GNX sold for $200,000 last year. Wow. But what a fun, and the Grand National on its own was a super fun car too. That was a great car in the 80s. You are right. There was a couple good ones. Yeah. So
he had to hang on to it for 40 years to make $100,000.
It was just the ones that I named that were not very good. It was the, if I remember right, it was the Dodge Spirit. The Plymouth Acclaim. But I will defend the LeBaron because I thought, you know, 40 years with that one car is just,
so
it's got to mean something. I know it's affordable and all that stuff.
It's just there to torture mechanics for all these years.
But in the 80s, it was the powertrain because Chrysler was doing this lean burn system thing in the 80s. And let me tell you, what a nightmare to work on. And you know, and then, yeah, not good. And then we had the early 90s, and we ended up with stuff like the Hyundai XL or whatever it was, carbureted. Oh. And in California, if you were doing smog and that thing rolled in, you thought to yourself, here comes another nightmare.
Yeah, and by the early 90s, specifically 1992, that monster came out, which was called a Viper.
Oh, yeah. Viper.
Yeah.
That was a good, fun car. You know, and I believe the first, when you went back to the 80s, but the first Caravan was 83, was it, or 84, 85?
84.
84.
That was the introduction. The K cars and the minivan.
Oh, 80, another piece of junk was the K car. That was the worst car in the world. But the my dad, and he's listening, ordered one of the first 1984 Dodge Caravan. It was red, and it was a stick shift four cylinder. So, and he drove that thing, and you'll appreciate this. I don't know how many miles he put on it, but it drove it. It was our family car. And then my older brother, both my dad and my brother are firefighters. My older brother, he gave it to him, or he bought it from my dad. I don't know what he did, but he had the van, and that's when my older brother had younger kids. He had the van at his house, and they're both firefighters. So the way this thing died is the van was parked in the driveway, and the starter engaged and shorted out, and it drove itself right into the garage door where it sat there, caught on fire.
Oh, jeez.
Didn't burn down the house, though. They got put out. But, yeah, that van died a miserable death. So, anyway.
It sounded like it committed suicide.
The car committed suicide. What was that, Bruce?
As a side thought, last week in your recorded show, within the first minute, you said something to Brandon, I believe. Did you catch that? Were you referring to having to use what's called the cough switch?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha. Yeah. No more need be said. Because in the context,
I swear, I was looking for that little thing entire time. I was listening to that first segment, and he told me while we were recording, hey, did you catch that? And I said, no, what is that? And he goes, don't worry about it then. I'll just tell you later. But I was looking for it, I swear.
You were early enough into the show that you would just started a new recording, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Or you would have edited out later. Then
he couldn't find it though. So you did. Oh. You should hire Bruce to work with you, because Bruce found it.
I know.
All right, gentlemen. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and it was great talking to you again.
You too, Bruce. Always a pleasure. Hey, thanks for calling to talk about those great cars. That one is a beautiful one. Thanks
all
for
bringing
it to our attention.
Back. Bagging on the 80s cars. I knew I was going to get some heat from that.
But thanks for the call. You have a Merry Christmas also, Bruce.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye. Take care. Bye-bye. So always great stuff. All right, folks, we got to take our first break. Hey, man, if you want to call, we're happy to talk about 80s cars and all that stuff. And I can talk to you about all the nightmares about working on some of them along the way. But some great stuff. 1-888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 AM, 96.1 FM in North County. We will be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back. Hey, Bruce, thanks for the call, man. Always great to talk to you about different stuff. Bruce does a lot of research and knows a lot of things. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And yes, so I did want to say about the 80s that cars, we were talking about them. And what happened in the 80s and early 90s, and I'm totally honest with you, is manufacturers were forced into this thing called emissions. In the 70s and 60s, we just built cars.
Yeah.
And we built some good go-go cars back in the 60s and early 70s. Yeah. Then we got into the late 70s where they started down this emission trail, and then they got into the 80s and it just turned into a nightmare. And I got to tell you, being a smog guy in the late 80s and early 90s in California, there was a lot of cars that you just, like Hyundai Excel, when that thing pulled in, you're like, that's going to fail. And then it's going to be a nightmare to make it past smog.
Yeah.
Oh man, they were, the carburetors on those and the emissions were just, and I'm not bashing Hyundai. Is that how it's pronounced? I always pronounce it wrong. I always say Hyundai.
And I just say Hyundai. That.
Hyundai.
Sure. Okay. I'm not sure.
Anyway, I'm from Ohio. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm from
things.
California, not.
But anyway,
Korea.
The point that I was going to make too about that vehicle, those vehicles was, Hyundai's come a long way for sure. Mm-hmm. So has everybody else. Yeah. I mean, the Chrysler makes great, good products now, mm-hmm. you know, as far as their trucks and everything else, just like Ford does and GM. And but yeah, even the import market was not good.
No.
Honda carburetors, mm-hmm. nightmares, man. Honda Accord nightmares with the car. I mean, just holy smokes. There was so many nightmares out there, especially smog-wise. So anyway, we're not just bashing one manufacturer. Everybody got thrown in that bucket, and it was not good. But I'm glad you guys were tuned in for that, for sure. Before we head on here, I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which includes West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks up there in North County for over 30 years now. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved. Out there in El Cajon, taking care of folks over 11 years, I believe, in there somewhere. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, over 6 years there, right in Central San Diego, AAA approved, smog certified. And of course, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks over there, coming up on 5 years. And West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission, we'll be rolling up towards a year here in May on that one. So, but been there for 30 years and a great crew that I got there working and everybody working together. So all five locations, West Oceanside's also AAA approved. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. And what that means to us, I'd never, myself nor any of my employees, would recommend a service or repair on your vehicle they wouldn't recommend on their own mother's car. And we all love our moms, so just mm-hmm. yeah, that's important. So anyway, but the seriousness, that's what that statement is all about to me. We're very conscientious about what we recommend, and we spend time diagnosing your vehicle properly so that you do not end up throwing parts at your car, which becomes very expensive. Somebody did also want to ask me about, you know, people talk about diagnosis on a vehicle and some, there's a couple ways that some places deal with that as far as it goes. I always tell folks that's the best money you spend on any repair is by a qualified technician diagnosing your vehicle. It will save you so much money in the long run. You know, and I'm always cautious. I've ran into some people like, oh, well you can go here or there and they'll if you do the repair, they don't charge for diagnosis. That's not true.
They hide it
in the repair. And I think that's the cost of it in the repair. And I think that's the most dishonest thing to do.
Yeah, you might as well just
I don't want nobody doing that to me. No. How about come to a place like us that has highly qualified technicians repairing vehicles and, you know what? We put everything on the repair order and we're honest about what that, and that means a lot to me. It does. If a guy comes out to fix my refrigerator, I want him to be totally honest with me and put everything down that he, you know. So I feel the same way about auto repair, obviously. It's what we do, but honesty is the best policy, and putting everything down and being honest and upfront about what things are going to cost in that is extremely important to me. So that's why we all come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio. Stop in and have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. And the West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. Of course, on approved credit, but it's a great way to get a West Automotive Group card and you can use it anytime you want. And it gives you 6 months to pay things off. Also, take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis or diagnosis on any other drivability concern like I was talking about by our master certified technicians, and it will eliminate unwanted parts replacement. We do offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home, and we work with rental partners at all five locations. If you need a rental car, we'll get you in one and with their help. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram by going to westautomotivegroup.com. Check out where I'm the auto man for the CW and Fox 5. Yeah, you can email me also anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But check us out there. You can make appointments, et cetera, see what we're all about. Once again, that's westautomotivegroup.com. Podcasts are also available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Spotify, iHeart, Radio.com, and TuneIn for Auto Talk Radio. You can go grab them there or see all of those. Once again, westautomotivegroup.com. And I wanted to truck backwards real quick to the wrench issue. I logged on to our server so I could get into Mitchell and our other databases just to see. So give some proper information on this. The light can be triggered on that year vehicle for many problems. And I specifically, because I wanted to know about the 2009 F-150 that he was talking about. Usually be related. It could be related to transmission, electronic throttle control system. And some of the most common reasons are throttle body problems, transmission issues, a failed sensor can even turn it on. The check engine light is shortcoming on this, I guarantee you.
Yeah,
it's following right.
It's going to fail a couple more times.
I bet you anything.
Turn the light on
for that year. It trips a one. It's most codes are two trip.
That's
codes.
What I meant.
So it's got to happen twice, right? I bet you anything that wrench light pops on when it happens the first time.
Probably
to these issues, telling the driver, "Hey, you're going to have a problem. Yeah. Something's coming." could be something as you know, low battery voltage can cause it. Electrical connection problem. So it could be something very simple. Mm-hmm. Could be something more major. So yeah, let's get it in, get it figured out. When he comes in, can you make a note to write down what we found on that? And then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
Just remember or text it to me or whatever.
Okay.
So we see so many cars that tomorrow I won't remember about this car, but it'll trigger when it comes in for you. Cause you'll be there. So that's why I'm saying yeah, exactly. All right, folks. 1-888-344-1170. Give us a call here. 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. I'm surprised my dad hasn't called in to talk about his Dodge Caravan stick shift.
Oh, remember we were talking about the old oil cans and that can opener kind of thing for that water oil?
It was a spout.
Okay.
So it was this metal spout and the oil cans were paper with metal tops.
Yeah, so a radio listener, I didn't see her come in, but she dropped a spout off for us.
Oh,
she
did.
I forgot to grab it. Yeah, it's there.
So the spout's got a point on it.
Yeah,
it's a metal spout.
Spike.
Yeah, you chunk.
Yeah.
And what you do is you make a small little hole in the opposite side of the top of the can, so it had an air breather hole, and you stick that thing in and pour it, and that way it didn't go glunk glunk, it just poured smoothly.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. Justin's like, hey, this radio listener left this for Brian, and I'm like, what is it? It's like, oh, it's for the oil cans. I'm like, oh, funny.
What is it? It's not ticking.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it's a clear bag.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, all right, folks, we're going to continue on here talking about diagnosing your vehicle and why it's important, and which is kind of down the line of, you know, hey, why is it so important to get your vehicle and to have it diagnosed by somebody qualified? Because it saves you a lot of money in the long run, but also you're notating like what it's doing, you know, as far as, is there any issues with it? And that's like when I'm talking to the gentleman with the Ford truck, we run out of questions like, no check engine light, is it driving okay? You know, these are all the things that we do. So taking note of some issues with your car also helps us to diagnose it quickly and properly. So anyway, all right, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after this message.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Phone lines are lighting up. Brandon's hair's on fire over there. Look at him running around in a circle. Still thinking about having some prime rib for Christmas.
That's right. I got to stay hydrated in here, too.
I got to stay hydrated. Yeah, I just looked up. I was talking to Paul. Oh, wait. I lied to Paul.
What?
There's two different temperature things over there. One says 81 and one says 75. No wonder it's so warm in here all the time. Nobody knows what temperature it is.
Right. So one is our personal individual air conditioning. The other one is the building's air conditioning. So
the building's at 75 and we're at 81.
I think so. That's the case. If not, it's the
other
way around.
I thought you said they just fixed air conditioning. They did. What is wrong with this place?
No, you could turn it on right now. I have it off right now.
Why do you?
Do you want it on? I'll
no.
go inside. Okay.
No.
Never mind.
Don't you threaten me with a good time. It's all good. All right, folks. Hey, thanks for joining us here this morning. We're having a great time talking about some good car stuff for sure. Yeah, good stuff. Interesting. Do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need a battery for a vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com. Get in. We'll get you Interstate installed. Number one technician recommended battery worldwide. No question about it. So good stuff. You can put them in my motorcycles. So, but they have a battery for every need. If you need a battery for anything else, battery backups, alarm backups, all kinds of stuff, go check them out. They got the best batteries for sure. And you can check them out at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, La Mesa at 70 and University Avenue. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. All right, really good stuff. Anyway, let's grab here real quick. Let's grab Mike on Alpine. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well this morning. How about you?
Better than I deserve.
What you got going on?
I have a 2001 Toyota Sequoia with the common exhaust manifold, the tube type that's cracked.
Cracks, yeah.
So I know there's a couple options. You could take them off and have them repaired or get a newer set or used set or maybe do some aftermarket headers. You have any ideas on that? Any thoughts?
Well, there are some aftermarket exhausts made for that because that was a big problem with that vehicle. And some of them are a definite upgrade to avoid this problem happening. But you need to make sure if you do that, that you get one that has what's called an EO number. And that what that is in a number that's required by the Air Resources Board here in California for smog. So you just got to make sure it's legal, basically gets put on there. So, but other than that, that's my suggestion. I've welded several of them back in the day we used to and stuff, but usually then they crack again in another spot in short order. And it's a bit of work to get that bad boy on and off there.
Right. Do you have any recommendation like a JBA or any certain type?
I don't know if JBA's, it's been a while since I've replaced one of those. So
Gibson used to have a California headers. I had a Dodge Dakota and I had a set of the Gibson headers. I don't know if they're still around. I haven't looked.
They're pretty good stuff too. Do you know, does JBA, do they offer one for that car?
I believe so. I think it was.
Okay.
JBAs are good.
Yeah. John's stuff's good, man. So yeah, if he offers one, that was my only question. I didn't know if they actually offered one for that. If they do, that'd be a great upgrade and we'll solve your problem. It shouldn't crack anymore.
Okay, so then I would just call in and have you guys give an estimate or bring it in.
Yep, we can do that. That's easy enough, and we'll give them a call for you even and get that sourced out. So yeah, or unless you already know they have one for sure. The only thing I need to make sure is that they're 50 state legal, which I'm sure his is. He's right here in San Diego, so most of the stuff he made was all California legal that he makes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
so I didn't know that.
Yeah, so some of his stuff is race stuff, though. But that's why I said we just need to double check for ordering it, putting it on there. But yes, it should be.
So what about the cats and muffler at that point?
If the factory cat's still working, they're the best. You don't want to mess it with those, so you leave those alone. There are what's called cat back systems for that if you wanted to change it up a little bit. So those are available. And anything after the catalytic converter, as long as it's doesn't need a Air Resources Board number as far as that goes. So everything that's controlled is from the engine down to the backside of the last catalytic converter. After that, you can add different mufflers, tailpipes, whatever you want to the car. So there are some systems out there.
Excellent. Thank you.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, just give us a call and we'll be happy to do a little research for you on that.
Quick question also. Have you guys done anything with the Cybertruck Tesla?
Nope. Mm-mm.
I want to see it.
I know.
I guess they're popping up, starting to pop up in certain Tesla places.
Yes,
correct. Cool to check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to see one, but we don't. I mean, not yet. So we're barely seeing other Teslas that have come out of warranty, and there's not a lot of parts available to the aftermarket for those. There's control arms and brake pads. That's pretty much all
filters.
Can do with those.
Yeah,
filters,
fluids,
those kind of things. Cause,
wow.
Because a Tesla, most people don't know, but I mean, if you look up the service schedule on one of these Teslas, there's intercooler fluid that needs to be exchanged for the cooling. Mm-hmm. Of everything on these, a lot of electric vehicles have a cooling system for their regen systems and their batteries.
And it's special non-conductive.
Fluid. It has to be a special. Yeah, put regular coolant in that bad boy, and you'll have all kinds of problems.
Wow!
So there are maintenance that still needs to be done to our these vehicles regularly. And like Paul said, filters, like cabin filters, things like that the vehicle needs. So we are going to see more of those. And hopefully our friend Elon will open up his parts supply to the aftermarket, because most people don't understand, but I can't call Tesla and buy parts for those cars. They're not available. He requires all those cars come back to him, which is actually, as we know it, a monopoly. So
is that part of the Magnuson Act too?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
And they said, so the Right to Repair Act was done recently, which manufacturers have to supply us with availability for parts and information and all that stuff. But they excluded all electric vehicles when they did it for some reason, and I don't know why. So now they're rehashing this out again, trying to get so. And there's people suing actually Tesla right now because they own Teslas and they don't want to go back to a Tesla service center. So something will come out of this eventually.
Maybe it's because it's selling technology and labeling it as technology.
Yeah, it's probably exactly what. If I remember right, that's what he's done, and as far as that goes. But that's not going to, as you know, enough people complain, it's going to change. So he gets sued enough times. But he does have a lot of money, so he can fend off a lot of lawsuits. He's pretty good at that, I'm sure. So we'll see what happens with it.
Thank you, guys. Have an extraordinarily awesome day.
You too. Thanks for calling in, Michael. Take care now.
Yep,
have a Merry Christmas. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. So great questions. Yep. But yeah, I think Mike's right. He those cars, he's trying to label them as technology. Technology is protected. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, you know, so I'm not giving my information out, but I don't think that's going to last long after, you know, I mean, he could. In,
well, the,
because
a lot
once
of his
you copyright all that stuff,
a lot of his information is outsourced. Like, you know, I signed up Escondido. I have all the technical service bulletins,
correct,
all kinds of their diagrams on there.
But he just started releasing all that stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff wasn't available until recently.
Yeah, it's weird that
but so great, we have all the information. Now, where do I get the parts?
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like, I can diagnose it, you know, and we can buy the scan tool for it now, but I can't get the part.
Can't get the part. Hey, Dad, I guess you're calling in about your wonderful 1984 Dodge Caravan.
Well, it was a wonderful vehicle.
I'm going to get some hate for bagging on 80s cars.
Carbureted four-cylinder, five-speed stick shift.
It was simple. It was carbureted. It you know, was just a simple machine. And I didn't go with the bits of issue engine that they offered in the first one. I stuck with Chrysler's. I had no problems with that vehicle.
You know, and what? You made a great point there. I forgot about that. You could get either the Chrysler four-cylinder or a Mitsubishi engine in that van. Mm-hmm. They had both options.
That was, and of course, that was the first year that they came out. And I had pre-ordered it in the fall because it was scheduled to come out that following year. And I took it on a four-year lease. And they pre-priced the buyout at the end of that four-year period when I purchased it. So at the end of the 4 years, I took it in. And I said, okay, my lease is coming up. I want to keep the car. This is what you priced it at. But the problem was, for them, they did not realize how popular that car was going to be.
Gotcha.
And so I was able to purchase that thing at the end of 4 years for about 50% of what it was valued at.
Wow. That's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, after the first year or two, it changed all of their pricing because they found out what it was going to go. But I had it locked in.
And the Dodge,
it was a great deal for me.
And Dodge created, and like the gentleman we were talking to said, that brought Dodge back to life. So the Dodge Caravan has been around for forever now, and it was the most popular minivan for a long time at the start of that. And everybody else then jumped on the bandwagon, Ford with the Windstar. And so, yeah, that was a very popular vehicle.
Yeah, and on the highway with the five-speed being the fifth gear was a cruise array on
overdrive.
I was getting about 35 miles a gallon on the highway back in that time.
Gotcha.
It was great.
Yeah, just be happy you lived in Ohio and you didn't have to smog that thing. That's all I got to say to you. Because they were not that easy to smog. They were not fun. They had lots of issues. But once again, all manufacturers were struggling with emissions then. They had restrictions put on them that they had to get in line with. And in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s was the very beginning of all that when they started making. So they were scrambling to make a vehicle that had low emissions and also ran well and was a good vehicle. So it was a learning curve for them all.
It certainly was. So, but anyway, has Santa Claus scheduled his maintenance for his sleigh yet in preparation for Christmas? Or
yeah, Paul's going to service all the reindeer. Yep. He's got some feed for them, and we got some horse feed and some hay, and they like that stuff. So
got to keep the reindeer happy.
Yes, we do. We do. That time is coming quickly.
So anyway, well, it's good to know you're back on the air, and nice to hear your voice. And you guys, all of you, have a very Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before then. And think about you often. And proud of you, son.
Thanks, Dad. You have a great I will talk to you before Christmas, I guarantee you. But anyway.
I certainly hope so.
All right. Well, have
a available most days.
Most days. Well, try to stay warm out there. I'm sure it's cold now. So.
It's really not. We've had a very mild winter so far. Matter of fact, it's going to be 56 degrees today.
And, that's nice.
Up through New Year's right now, we're talking high temperatures in the mid 40s every day.
Wow.
And maybe a little bit of rain.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, hang in there.
Here in the retirement community, I don't have to shovel snow anymore anyway. That's another great feature.
There you go. I think I'm going to move to a retirement community now. So anyway. All right, Pop. Thank you so much for calling in, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Bye.
So, all right. Great stuff. We lost a caller. I don't know. You were next. Call back. I don't know what to tell you. Brandon's over there staring at the wall right now. Once again, thinking about his prime rib. That's not going to get out of your mind all day, is it?
No, not at all.
Are you having prime rib for Christmas?
No, I think I'm probably going to be doing my family tradition. It's going to sound weird.
Turkey?
When I say it. No, oyster stew. That's what we do every single year.
For Christmas?
Yep. I know. It sounds who's weird.
That's that's your mom's? Your
my dad's recipe. Your dad's it's thing. On my dad's side. Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
Your dad.
My grandparents are from Norway. So they would have a lot of seafood there and stuff. And by the way, oh my gosh, he did the worst thing in the entire world.
He did?
Yeah, he ordered lutefisk for the first time. It's one of the worst fish you can ever have. The only way you eat it is you boil it in water, and it's so salty, and the only way to cover it up is you put basically a whole stick of butter on there. But even then, you could just taste the fish, and it's just awful. It's slimy. It's gross.
Why did he want to eat that?
This is his first Christmas without his mom, unfortunately.
Oh. As a tribute to mom.
Correct, yeah.
Very cool.
And unfortunately, my wife's going to have to try it too. So I keep forewarning her. It's going to be the worst thing in the world. You're not going to like it at all. She goes, oh, let's do it. Come on, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, you're really not.
You only got to eat one bite, right?
You have to eat the whole fish. He bought like fillets. Now, these fillets are small, mind you. Like, they're probably, this is radio, so it's going to be kind of hard. I'm saying it's this small. But, you know.
So they're like 4-inch fillets or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, at most. So.
Yeah. If you just give measurements, it's easier for people to there understand on the radio. Versus you in the booth holding your hands up.
Right now, that guy was like, man, so what is he saying this small? He's like waving his hands in the air.
Well, what's a measurement anyways?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is... jeez.
Sorry.
All right. Back to servicing the reindeer you go. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Well, you enjoy.
Thank you.
I'm going to eat prime rib.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I like prime rib a lot for sure. I prefer brisket, maybe a little bit more, but you know, that's just me nitpicking and stuff. But,
gotcha. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, that's good.
There you go. All right. Very cool. Well, our guy didn't call back, did he? Boy, no, the hour's
I do know
gone,
the question if you want me to.
What was the question?
To,
sure, sure.
It had to do with the ignition. Ignition.
Okay, you're done.
I know.
Hang on. Ignition?
Yes, exactly. No, no, so no. It's been sporadic. Every
what
other
kind of
time,
car?
He said it was a 2000, I want to say it's 5 or 9 Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
Every four times he turns the key, then it finally comes on. And he wanted to know, is he hurting the car by doing that over and over?
You mean it cranks but doesn't start?
Correct. And then the fourth time, every time it does start.
Well, something's going on there. It may not be ignition. It might be fuel related.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things that can cause an extended crank for
it. Try it the five times. I wonder if it doesn't crank.
Does it maybe not crank? He turns the key.
He says he can hear it, but just doesn't start the vehicle.
Like doesn't start, like turn, like
yeah.
starter.
And then every single time on the fourth try, it does work after that. So
does it just click?
I did not ask that part. I just know that
the contacts are bad in the starter.
Yeah,
I bet you $100 the contacts are bad in the starter.
That's the normal symptom of that.
And Toyota's famous for that.
Yeah,
Toyota, Honda. Back then, those years, the contacts go bad in the starter. You may have a bad starter. I'd recommend getting it diagnosed, and we'll get it fixed.
Oh, I was going to say, so he can't just simply like clean out the actual part. It's probably something a lot more.
You're going to take a starter apart?
No, as in like you said that it was a bad contact.
The contacts are inside the starter.
Okay, gotcha. I was assuming it was on top of something.
So when you turn the key, let me tell you how this works. There's a solenoid, okay? And when you turn the key, the power goes to it, and it closes the solenoid. It's electromagnetic. Well, the contact that inside that, when it closes, it's less amperage and voltage, or less amperage, I'm sorry, to close the solenoid. Once the solenoid goes, then the high amperage flows through those contacts to turn the starter, because you need a lot of amperage to turn a starter, right? But what happens is that plunger burns in two spots where it comes into contact when it closes. And once it gets burned, you got to click it where it's closing until it makes good contact and then the car starts. Is that explainable? I know I was waving hands around. So.
This is radio. Hello.
No, I know. But anyway.
Why is it when you tap on them sometimes that they engage?
I think they move.
Oh, yeah.
So that it like moves and then it makes good contact and it starts. Mm. That only works for a while, by the way.
It doesn't really work on newer cars, but
yeah. So, and if you have a permanent magnet starter and you smack it with a hammer, it's done. That's it. Usually it breaks them. So I always wince when I see sometimes people,
bang on their cars,
Yeah. Or other people bang on them for them. Like, yeah. Oh, here, you know, it's no.
Well, I told you that story where someone was telling me, oh, my car doesn't start and I keep banging on my starter and it's starting. And I was looking at the car. I'm like, the starter's under the intake. How is he hitting it? So I popped the hood.
He's beating the heck out of the alternator.
Yeah, there's dents all over the alternator. I'm like, dude.
That's not helping. That's not
doing anything.
It's just a coincidence. Anyway, yeah, there are some car parts you can smack and it'll get you going, but I would reserve that for absolutely needed things. All right, San Diego and everybody else out there. Hey, stay tuned. We will be back next Saturday for sure. We appreciate you joining us as always. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Till next week, this has been Auto Talk Radio.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.